Psalm 119, reading from verse 89. Let us all read together. This is a beautiful passage of the Psalms from verse 89 on to verse 105. Let us read together. Everyone, please. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. They are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every falsehood. The last verse is 105. Thy lamb, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Welcome, especially to many friends. I believe you must be from the Haggai Institute. So a very warm welcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, our church is called a BP Church. Let me just spend a moment to explain what it means. In the beginning, people thought BP is British Petroleum. Now they understand it is Bible Presbyterian. But may I suggest that we also are a Bible preaching, still BP, and Bible practicing. And as far as we can, to urge our people to be Bible propagating, all BPs. May we be true to our calling by the Lord Jesus. How is your Bible reading is the topic for today's meditation. Many people come to our church and they all, I think, carry Bibles. But carrying a Bible is very easy. To read regularly is not. My topic today is a question. How is your Bible reading? Carrying the Bible costs you very little. Reading the Bible on a regular basis is not easy because it demands devotion. A young lady was asked, "What do you mean by devotional reading of the Bible?" She thought for a moment and she said, "Well, I receive a letter from the one to whom I have given my heart and my total devotion yesterday. In these 24 hours, I have read that letter 5 times. Is that strange? Those of us who have gone through that phase of life, will surely all agree this is what we all will do, because we have given our love, our heart, our devotion to that person. In the same manner, when we talk of devotional reading of the Word of God, is not a duty as such, or a burden, which is worst, but it is because of love. We read the Word of God because the one who sent that word is the one who first loved us. And now we love him in return, and if you do love him, you like to read his word. I want to give you my short testimony. Most of you have heard it, some have not. When I was 10, I was led by my parents to revival meetings by Dr. John Sung. Most of you have heard of him. He was an evangelist from China. And at the age of 10, we met 3 times a day, 2 hours per time, 14 days in a row. And that hall was never empty, always full. Everybody came, and everybody was challenged, blessed by the preaching of that word in a wonderful way. Can that word of God be so appetizing that people won't go away? Today it is, I would say, near impossible to hold such meetings, but it was because the Spirit of God was working through that servant of God, and the word was made so real, so powerful, so convicting, so penetrating, that lives were touched, and not just touched but changed. Because at every meeting, Dr. Johnson would call for men and women to come to the front and give their testimonies of salvation and repentance, and they came, large numbers, to confess Jesus, because they have heard the word of God. The Bible was made plain to them, not just to confess but to repent. And that was where the proof of the power was. Men who have 3 wives in Chinese practice, that is not uncommon. And the wives were all converted, and he brought them 3, and 2 were retired, and 1 remained. But all came to give testimony. The word of God has been proved powerful to us. I heard the word again when I was 13, 1938. And this time there was a challenge. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How many of you young people today will like to give your life to serve the Lord and to go forth to be a missionary and to do the works of God? Up went my hand. That was 1938, when I was 13, long time ago, 71 years ago. Since then, my life direction has been fixed. The Word of God guides. And to serve the Lord today is the best and most rewarding and refreshing experience that you can have. Will you think about it? Some of you who are either young and able, or retiring, or about to retire, what are you doing with your life? So, I want to tell you a little story before we go further. This is a true story of a family of Russians fleeing to Siberia in the about 100 years ago. And this family got caught in the cholera epidemic, and the parents died, leaving two children. The boy somehow fell into company of a band of robbers who adopted him and took him to be one of their own. So he grew up to be a robber with a band of robbers. How about that? Years later, when he was together with the robbers, he went through the things they had robbed from victims. This particular victim had been killed, and out of the belongings of this man, this young man found a book, the New Testament. He had never read the Bible before. By then he was late teenager, maybe nearly 20. And he was curious to know what this, the dead victim, had left this book. So he read. This is what he read out of that book from Romans. To say, their feet are swift to shed blood. Seems to talk to him. Seems to describe what their gang of robbers had been doing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. These words struck him deeply, and his conscience was pricked. For days he walked around dazed as those words convicted him of his sin. None of the other gang members could get out of him what was the real matter with him. Some of his friends thought he was sick, but he wasn't sick. They did not cease to try to find what is the cause of his sadness. Finally, he declared to some that he had lost his peace ever since he read that portion of the Bible out of the dead man's possessions. As the word of God kept coming back to him, saying, there is no peace to the wicked. So, as this declaration was made known, the other gang members came to know about it, so they held a meeting. What to do with this young man? They said, this book is so powerful, it must be bewitched by some witchcraft. So, shall we burn it? But the other member says, not to. How about let's all read it? Amazing, amazing suggestion, which was agreed to. So this, by the way, this one who was first pricked in the heart, his name was called Greasy. Is there anyone here whose name is called Greasy? When they first found him as a little boy, he had a very oily face. So they did not know what to call him, but call him Greasy. So Greasy, will you read it to us? Which he did. He read to them those parts that had moved him so greatly. As they read, as they listened, all of them were convicted of their sin. Amazing power of the Word of God. So one of the young robbers volunteered, when I was younger, before I joined you, my mother took me to church and always read in the Gospels. She often took me to the children's meetings where we read out of this book and sang and prayed. So this was the outcome of this regular meetings they had, amazingly, in the robber's den. For a long time, the man sat listening, while Greasy read from the book. Then they dispersed, but most of them went away with a depressed mood as the word of God began to prick their heart of their conscience, and none of them could understand the reason why the reading of the book should have such a strong effect on them. From that day, the robbers came together regularly, wanting to hear more of that terrible book that depressed them. They just came back for more. The effect of the book was so powerful upon them that they could not withdraw from its influence. A whole month passed. Then the young robber, whose mother had been a believer, declared to his friends and comrades that he could take it no longer. Surely, this robbing of people must stop. Greasy agreed. Two of them said, there must be a repentance after hearing the word of God. So there arose the question, because the rest were also coming to believe, what shall we do now? How do we start a new life? All these things were strange to them, but somehow the Spirit of God began to work through the word. And I want to say, dear friends, this book of God is a powerful book. For the word of God is like a two-edged sword, cutting, piercing into the heart, dividing soul and spirit, and exposing the deepermost secrets and longings of the heart. So this group had a meeting, and then they all decided to yield themselves to the authorities, for they had committed crimes over years, and they cannot just say, we stop and we go scot-free. So they planned, and they said, we must make a clean break with the past. Repentance must be followed by restitution. The day of separation came, and it was a parting scene. These who had agreed to leave asked Greasy to read to them once more out of the New Testament. He opened to the same old place where he had started to read, and then he came to one section where the account was about Jesus with the demon possessed, and describes the master's power by the healing of those men. At that point, the group says, thus it was with us also. We are about to quit our sinful lives. Let us cease to do evil to people and follow Christ. Conversion without even a pastor. Conversion just because of a book. The rest of the story is that they all left their robber's hideout, went to the nearest police post and gave themselves up, confessing all the crimes and saying, now we are in the hands of the law, do what is needful. Praise the Lord. Now we come to what we are to do. According to my question, how is your reading of the Word of God? How many of you regularly read the Word of God? Regularly, I don't mean regularly on Sundays here, you read the Word of God and go home and shut the Bible and go to sleep. Regularly, meaning to say, there is that love for the Word of God. And even as you had breakfast this morning, I will be very surprised if anyone says, I did not have breakfast this morning. Right? There is no need to remind us that we need breakfast. How about this? I went to hospital to visit a patient, a member. And this young lady had written a little slogan by her bedside in the hospital. And that slogan touched my heart. quite interesting. It says, no book, no food. Very simple. Can you remember that? No book, no food. In other words, the book of God must be read first before you have breakfast. Try that. How is your reading? You say, well, I don't have time. I'm a businessman. Supposing there is a formula, there's an advice, and I challenge you now to turn to Joshua after the five books of Moses in the very beginning of the Bible, then you come to Joshua chapter 1. After Deuteronomy, number 1 is chapter 1 of Joshua. And I read to you, those who are business minded and want to do well, here is the formula, here is the answer, advice that costs you nothing. Alright, I read to you Joshua 1:8, chapter 1 of Joshua verse 8. It says here, this book of the law, that is the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Wow. Don't just think of Wall Street and Dow Jones Index and how is the local market doing, and then plan and plan and plan to make more money. No, don't. Read this. Thou shalt meditate there day and night on the word of God, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in this book. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Wow. Making more money. I think more important is getting more peace with God and more cleansing of your sins. Thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. Isn't that good? Now to students, how many students are there? You say, will reading God's word help me to be a better student? Answer is absolutely. Psalm 111. Please turn there quickly. You should all be able to turn to your books like a sword drill. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. All right, ready? Listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Students, old and young, there are a lot of old students here also. We live and learn, you know. We're all learning, all the time. Now it says here, Psalm 111, verse 10. You want to be smart and clever? Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? You want to know how to order your life? Here it is. The fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, meaning to say you give Him utmost, maximum reverence, respect, attention. I want to know what the Lord has got for me today. Then you will read and see how the Lord will bless you. So verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandment. So remember this verse. What else? Afraid of the H1N1 influenza coming is not far from you, you know. We have some of our members voluntarily quarantined today. They could not come because they came from an infected country and they have been advised to stay away from church for one Sunday and quarantine themselves. Are you worried? H-I-N-I coming at your heels? Psalm 91. Did you know the Psalms were so wonderful, full of good advice for us? Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6, for all those who are afraid of any kind of worries, not just H1N1 influenza. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Day and night, when you have the Lord, call on Him. This is what the Word says. He will protect you. He will surround you, defend you against pestilence. What is a pestilence? H1N1 is a pestilence. 6 years ago we had SARS, another pestilence. There are more pestilences coming. This is a sign of the Lord's return. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, tell us, how do we know you're coming back? Wars and rumors of wars plus pestilences. Pestilence, strange, dangerous, frightful diseases may come, will come. When you see them happening, Jesus says, I am coming. There are signs. We must not be blind. So, see this. When you are worried, read Psalm 91. How about Psalm 46? We are told that was the one that inspired Martin Luther to write, a mighty fortress is our God. Let's look into that psalm, what it says to us. Just the first verse, Psalm 46:1. By the way, if you have not been in the habit of marking your Bible, please learn from today. In the same way that you read the letter you receive from the one you love, and you even mark it, now mark, this is God's love letter to us. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Under any condition, under every threat and danger that may face you, turn to Psalm 46. We live through 4 years of the Japanese war in 1941 to 1945. Those were difficult days. But then I tell you, we had something very good that was better than our daily rice diet. That is Psalm 46. We had this put to music, and every day in the midst of shelling and bombing from the Japanese, we all crowded into the shelter and we sang Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Kept on singing. And God helped us. My grandfather was the best. He says, you people trust in sandbags, you run into the shelters. I trust in Jesus. And he never went into the shelters. Never. At the second last day of the war, he was walking around while all of us were in the bunkers, and the Japanese shells were flying overhead all the time. Grandfather says, God is my refuge. You trust in sandbags, I trust in the Lord for my protection. When he came back to his bed that day, amazing, a piece of shrapnel. You know what's a shrapnel? A broken piece of shell had fallen through the roof onto his pillow. Wow, if he had been lying there, it may have killed him. So, when you are in trouble, remember Psalm 46. What else do we have for you? You traveling? Today, at the drop of a hat, they say you travel, because so many of our Singaporeans got to earn their living overseas. And I give you one called the Traveler's Psalm. Psalm 121 is called the Traveler's Psalm. It can be anybody's psalm. Anybody and any time is a good psalm. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If the Creator is interested in me, is he not? If the Creator sent his Son to die for you, to save you from everlasting hell, will he not care for you in your traveling, going out and coming in? So, Psalm 121 is the best psalm for anyone, anytime, under any circumstances. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Is there anyone who can go with me anywhere, everywhere, anytime, anytime, every time? Answer is no. You say, I got bodyguards. Your bodyguards are also tired, they've gone to sleep, you know. So, no one is like our Lord. He is with you anytime, every time, anywhere, everywhere. He is with you to see to your safety, to your comfort, to your blessing. So, lift up mine eyes. Lift up your eyes to the hills, from whence cometh your help. Don't rely just on insurance. Now I got my insurance. Now it's very good. I say it's all right because nowadays it is fashionable and necessary when you go on long distance. And sometimes you really get the benefit from insurance. If you get sick in the overseas country, they put you to the hospital, they pay your fees there. So, but I tell you, it's better with the Lord who keeps you safe from sickness, from accident, from harm and danger, and free. Better than any insurance. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. From there comes your help. Why the hills? When you look at the hills, you look up. And beyond the hills is the one who made the hills. And that's where your faith and your security, your safety is. My help cometh from the Lord, verse 2, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not go to sleep, whereas your bodyguard gets sleepy and he goes to sleep. How wonderful. Read this, Psalm 121. When you came in, you had in your program sheaf of papers, one sheet here. Now, this was not given to add to the papers, you know. But this is for a purpose. Can you take it out, please? And I'll run through with you. And you have a pen, please spend just a minute in this little exercise. Please look at this, kindly cooperate. All right, let me read. Are there those who did not have this? It's called spiritual self-assessment. It's good for you to search yourself, ask yourself, to come here and then listen to some sweet talk, go home and forget it. I say you've lost the real value and purpose of this meeting. Thank you. Any more who need the paper, please. Please, if you did not receive it, don't go without it. After all, it's free of charge. Come, anyone else? Anyone else, please, just put up the hand, it will come to you mighty fast. Anyone upstairs, you all have it upstairs. All right, let's now just pay a minute of your attention here. Self-assessment. You look into this, is for your own benefit. Mindful daily reading, viewing time. To test yourself. Do you ever test yourself? Do you ever have a checkup? Do you ever go to the doctor to have yourself checked up? Most people have, annually. Now, tell me, in the last 24 months, 2 years, have you ever had a checkup like this? I would say almost surely no. Never had a checkup. Now is the first time you check yourself. Mindful. You know, every time you sit in front of television, a lot of stuff is coming into your mind through ear and eyes. What do you get out of it? You ever ask yourself? You say, well, it's very entertaining, enjoyable, and amusing. Never sit in front of the television to be amused. You know what is amused? Amused means you shut off your mind. The two words says, no mind, no mind. When you sit in front of the television, your mind is blank. Now you absorb. Absorb all the stuff. Good, bad, indifference comes flowing through eye gate, ear gate. That is mind food. How many hours you sit in front of television, you write down there. It is the worst instrument, the most powerful instrument for evil influence in the whole world today, television. And yet we all sit there like dumb and get mindful that floods in, good, bad, indifferent, full of the lust of the eyes, lust of the world, lust of the flesh. Everything comes in and you absorb it. You come to the Bible, how much time? So you write down that first. Straits Times. You say, I never buy Straits Times. Then you buy new paper or something else. None, doesn't matter. Put their newspapers. How many hours? There are some who can qualify to be professors of newspapers. They study it from morning till lunchtime. Then they stop it. Do you do that? Why do you read everything in the newspaper? Again, it's mind food. Please. How much time you compare? Your newspaper time compared with Bible time? Is there a difference? Why do you spend so much time reading trash, rubbish, filthy things, and looking at those filthy pictures which fill especially new paper? The new paper is famous for all the very filthy, flashy, all the things. How much time? TV time. How many hours and minutes? I was told in America, average child spends 4 to 6 hours a day on television. Mothers and fathers put their children in front of the television and say, sit down, switch on. Their father's busy, mother's busy cooking. You sit down. That is the most dangerous, most wasteful, most terrible thing to do to your child. To amuse a child, to switch off the mind and say, you just watch what comes. And all the filth, all the garbage goes in. What do you do? Computer, internet. They say, I study, lor. Switch off. Shut off the bedroom, I study. Till what time? 2, 3 a.m. You really study? Today, through television and the internet, is the most potent channel of filth and evil things. You see and hear it, you absorb it. How much time? If there is any time spent on those evil things, from now on put that zero time. I challenge you, you got to do this checkup yourself. Finally, prayer and Bible and quiet time, how much time do you spend on it? Now, for your own checkup, you write down, I am not going to look at it. You write down, take home and pray and then read and ask the Lord to help you. Now, solemnly, the bottom part is your resolve. Please, you got to do this yourself. When I was called, when I was 13, I wrote down, I will follow the Lord all my life. I promised the Lord. 30 years later, that promise was activated. Yes, I had to study, I had to go to school, and I became a doctor and practiced for a number of years. But when the 30 years came, God says, it's time. Fulfill your vow, your promise. Solemnly, I promise. Now, writer, look at this, please. I will from today, 28th of June 2009, meet daily with God. Will you promise Him? If He loves you and gave His Son for you, is it too much for you to meet with the Son, Jesus Christ, who says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is available. Are you available? So, you write here, I solemnly promise I will from today, 28th June, meet daily with God, spending time in prayer and reading of God's Word. Prayer, number one, the word times should be changed to hours, right? Change to hours. Is there anyone here who ever prays more than 1 hour? There'll be 1 hour and no minutes. Write it down, honestly. Yes, it's for your own benefit. And the Bible, how much time do you spend reading the Bible? Sign it and date it and keep it in your Bible and be honest about it. How is your Bible reading? May God challenge you and bless you as you go through this spiritual checkup and assessment. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, bless your people, that they will understand the real issues of life, the real values, to know that the knowledge of the Most High exceeds all and any other knowledge. So Lord, bless your people with the understanding. In Jesus' name, Amen.